In case you missed this morning's Off the Ball breakfast, we had some of this.
David Brady, good morning, commiserations.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
I've come to talk to you again. Other things went.
And there was also some of this.
Oh, mate, it's unbelievable. I've been involved with Irish rugby for 25 years. I have never seen Irish rugby become so arrogant and northern. We've seen the English be arrogant for a long, long time, you know, 800 odd years. But, you know, like, I've never seen Irish rugby like this.
Catch up now elsewhere on the Go Loud app and every weekday morning when Off the Ball Breakfast is live from 7:30 on your OTB social channels.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening. You're welcome along to Tuesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 p.m. tonight. And this evening we're speaking to Derry football manager Paddy Talley. His side were knocked out of the All-Ireland Championship on Saturday. So we're going to reflect on his 2025 season. Of course, a 2-point loss to Dublin ended their hopes of getting into the knockout stages of this year's All-Ireland. So 7:30, Paddy Talley will be on the line. We're also going to be joined by Rebecca Clancy after 8 o'clock to discuss the fascinating dynamic happening at McLaren right now between Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri. It's not full-blooded tension just yet, but things are getting very interesting as they're both chasing that Drivers' Championship. After 9 o'clock then, Fermanagh's Darragh McGurn is going to be on the line for a chat about his own career. So he's come back from chronic injuries to become a mainstay in this Fermanagh midfield, and they're playing a Tailteann Cup semi-final this weekend. And we're also in the 9 to 10 hour going to speak to Tim Vickery to get the Brazilian perspective on the Club World Cup so far. According to my maths, in the European South American fixture so far, it is a draw. All three games have been a draw, including a nil-all draw between Borussia Dortmund and Fluminense a little bit earlier on. So we'll chat to Tim Vickery about all of that. Cathal Milani, we'll have your news round in just a moment. Cathal, how are you doing?
Evening, lads. How's it going?
And Mick McCarthy is here as well. Hello, Mick.
I'm great.
Our number is...
Oh, you didn't ask me how I was there, actually. Yeah, I just... Automatically assumed that you were going to give me the same courtesy as you as the call.
You are great. I can tell all day long you've been in great form. So I won't ask a question I don't need to get information about, but I haven't spent as much time with Cathal. So fair. Good to know you're both keeping well. 0879 180 180 is our number. And I give that number out tonight because if you've been trying to get NFL tickets today, let us know how you got on. We need to give an award out to our other colleague, Will O'Callaghan, as world's most patient man. Because word has filtered through that Will O'Callaghan, having joined the queue to get tickets at 11 a.m. this morning, managed to succeed at 6:05 this evening. He joined the queue at 11 a.m. and got a notification from Ticketmaster that said, you are number 480,000 in the queue. And he managed to get tickets from that position. This is extraordinary. Yeah. So congratulations to Will. He paid a pretty penny to get them. I suspect maybe...
You know.
479,000 people got to the front of the queue and said, no, thank you. 235 quid each for a Canal upper ticket. And then you buy a pair of them, throw in the charges, 500 quid for a pair of tickets.
Yeah. And like, I mean, you know, we all say like we couldn't get Oasis tickets, but I mean, I do believe we were all probably offered them eventually. It's just that we weren't willing to pay what they were being offered for. And I think this is in a similar enough boat here. Like, I mean, the NFL, I'm sure, would argue... One, like, I mean, Ticketmaster would argue that dynamic pricing exists for supply and demand reasons and so on. I don't think it's a great way of going around a sports event, I have to say. I don't think that, like, I think there should be set prices for set seats. But look, I'm sure many more people, especially on the business side of things, would argue against it, and that's fine. But I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm not paying that much for NFL tickets, I'm sorry. I think I could go to London and go to the game in Wembley or Spurs for cheaper.
Yeah, I hadn't really considered that. It possibly would be, right?
It's, the overall weekend wouldn't be, I guess. Yeah. But, you know, like,
because you live
you're
in
also
Dublin.
Getting a weekend in London.
But that's because you live in Dublin. What if you're an NFL fan who needs accommodation in Dublin, for example?
Oh,
needs
well,
to,
yeah.
Then you
well,
probably are better off.
There'll be an awful lot of Pittsburghonians, that'll be here. And they'll soon find out what a trip to Dublin is really all about.
Mm. I mean, it is the price of seeing Aaron Rodgers play football, so...
Yeah. Well, it's like if you're committed enough and want to see it enough, you'll pay the money, won't you?
Yeah.
It's like anything. It's like if your county was in an All-Ireland final, I know, like, if that was, for me, if that was the price, you'd pay anything, wouldn't you, to get in? So fair play to Will. I have to say that's impressive commitment.
Unbelievable. I must say...
He's also just told me about a hefty booking fee.
Hefty booking fee, okay.
Yeah, like, it's, you know, So even beyond the price that you're paying for the actual tickets.
Who's getting the press passes from Off the Ball?
Well, I mean,
not Will anyway, clearly.
As one of the three people in the Off the Ball.
Does Will O'Callaghan not make those decisions?
Yeah, that's a fair point, actually. Well, he doesn't need one now, so all's good. But, you know, I mean, there's a healthy and well-listened to Off the Ball NFL pod that goes out every week during the season. Well, I mean, Ger presents it, or sometimes me when Ger's not available, which is about 66% of the time, I would say. So, and I'm on it the rest of the time. So, you know, I would say I'm at least, you know, top-ish of the queue.
Name in the hat.
Name in the hat, let's call it that, yeah.
Right.
Would I have to do work when I got there, though?
I mean, if you want to, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose.
If any
accreditation people are listening to this here conversation, then I'm not talking about not doing any work at all.
It depends what your podcast needs, Mick. You'd be there on behalf of your podcast. Is it one of those that requires a lot of intel from the ground? I don't know. I've never listened to it, but I'm sure it's very, very good.
You've never listened to it?
I've seen clips.
Disrespect started at 7:03 and has continued 7:08.
The inside is great. It must be said. Right, the news round is here with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. Carl, we are starting with some football news.
Yeah, the Champions League draw has produced an all-Ireland derby in the first qualifying round. The Premier Division champions Shelburne have been drawn to face Linfield. The Irish Premiership champions were seeded in the draw, so they'll come to Dublin for the first leg in the second week of July. The winning team will be guaranteed at least two more ties after the first round. St Patrick's Athletic have been drawn to face FC Hegelmann of Lithuania in the first round of qualifying for the Conference League. That tie too will take place across two legs next month. And the St Pat's midfielder Jamie Lennon says they're hoping the confidence will be high heading into that tie in July.
We treat every game the same, and when Europe comes around, it's going to be different playing against players you've never played against before. Different style, different system. So, but it's a good challenge. But like I said, we've a lot of games between now and then, and we want to try and pick up as many points as we can so that our confidence is high going in then to the European games.
Yeah, this is probably a good draw for her shells as well. When you look at the Linfield situation here, and I guess they're probably saying to themselves, shells is a good draw as well.
No, they probably are, but it's funny. There's so much emotion attached to a draw like that, and the derby element of it, and everybody's excited about it in the office. But actually, in the cold heart of things, Shelburne will feel they'll beat an Irish League club, you know, and that's ultimately what they want, is to get, you know, through to the next round and collect the books, is what the early stages of these things are. So it's actually a great draw.
Yeah. We have women's football coming back to the Aviva Stadium as well, Republic of Ireland, Belgium.
Yeah, that's right. The Aviva Stadium will host the Republic of Ireland against Belgium in the first leg of their Women's Nations League promotion relegation playoff later this year. The girls in green last played at the Aviva back in December when they were beaten by Wales in the second leg of their playoff for Euro 2025. Belgium will travel to Dublin for the first leg on Friday the 24th of October before hosting Ireland the following Tuesday.
Be interested to see what the level of promotion is for this game, because these things don't, these stadiums don't just fill up on their own, but they, like a campaign and a like regular conversation around it and regular ads like do work, you know. So it's just, you don't just hope to get a great crowd at the Aviva. You know, a lot of legwork needs to be done for it, like, you know, because the crowds have actually been slipping off. Like, obviously, the World Cup team and all was filling out talent. It was right to move to the Aviva as quick as possible, but there's a sense that ship may have sailed, you know, so at least for the time being. So you need to get schools, you need to get, you know, like all of these things, you know, clubs, etc. Maybe do what the Leinster Council look to do for the Leinster Hurling Final, and, you know, give out free tickets to schoolgirl clubs and so on, like, you know. But I do think, like, the cost of it, or, you know, like, the as a money-making venture, I don't think it's going to work on its own. But, like, let's get a huge crowd in there and make it an event.
The phrase Aviva fatigue has already entered our vocabulary, so I guess we need to all be on a bit of high alert when it comes to these things. You don't just fill this thing out or get a decent crowd just at the drop of a hat. Right, one of the more interesting beefs of the summer has been Jim McGuinness versus the CCCC. He lobbed in a grenade there after their win against Mayo at the weekend, and Jarlath Burns has come back today.
Yeah, the GAA president Jarlath Burns has praised the work of the GAA's CCCC in light of criticism of the selection of some of the venues as neutral grounds for the All-Ireland Championship fixtures. Donegal manager Jim McGuinness said Donegal were unhappy with the decision to hold their meeting with Mayo at Dr Hyde Park in Roscommon last Sunday, given the distance some players and supporters had to travel to the venue. But speaking today at the launch of the All-Ireland Football Championship, Burns said the CCCC do a very good job.
And whenever fixtures are being made. There are so, so many things that they have to take into consideration, particularly with regard to neutral venues. I think they do an incredible job. I think they are amazing people. And I just thought that it was important to put on record today my appreciation and thanks for the work that they do in very complex circumstances.
This is interesting. I completely see why Jim McGuinness has done what he's done here. Like, the idea of not taking a backward step is something that he'd be preaching to his players. And as manager, you've got to be seen to be doing something. And who knows, he might be manager of Donegal next year when they're in a very similar situation. And say if it's the exact same situation where, say, Markovic Park is unavailable, it's Donegal versus Mayo again in a neutral venue, I can't see them picking the hide on this next occasion. I think in any case, they would probably favour Donegal. And whether you think he's right or he's wrong or he's like Crimea River or whatever the case may be, I can understand totally why an intercounty manager would go out and make this message as clear as possible.
It's just that I'd have a different perspective. You're not wrong in anything you say, but I just think that I don't think that we should applaud him for being unfair. And whether the decision to play it in the hide was right or wrong, his comment of this happened because we're Donegal, he basically said that this only happens to Donegal. He was asked to clarify it. He said, well, like, I mean, it's obvious we're Donegal. Everyone hates us. You know, I'm paraphrasing. He didn't use those exact words, but everyone knows what that's what he was going for. It's kind of outrageous. And it's like a scandalous enough thing to say about these like unnamed CCCC people. So I can actually see why Jarlett Burns took the opportunity to kind of like talk about the people within that organization as an entity, because their character was questioned, you know. And the other thing is, like, there was, you know, Kerry travelled a lot further to a place that's a lot nearer, that like, you know, is right beside Meath. And, you know, that doesn't exist. That's not like, you know what I mean? So when he's picking out this, we made a joke of it last night. I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world, but I also don't think that, oh, just because he's a manager, he, you know, and he wants to get the edge, he should just be allowed to say whatever he wants.
My perspective on that would be, why didn't Jack O'Connor kick up a bigger fuss after the game on Saturday when he had to travel to
because
Tullamore?
Because he's bigger than that.
Yeah,
and
Kerry lost.
Kerry are above that. Yeah.
Probably couldn't be seen to be using
that. That's true as well,
as well.
Yeah.
That is actually
very absolutely couldn't. It would not have been strategic.
But if you're to use the same logic that Jim McGuinness uses with the Donegal distance travelled, I think from some parts of Kerry up to Tullamore.
But they are both in the corner. They're huge counties that are vast and rural and hard to get from one end of the county to the other, and they are in the corners of the country. There is just a geographical reality to that.
Yeah,
there is. And look, it is not as big a distance between them as you might think. So like Dingle to Tullamore, 260 kilometres, whereas Buncrana to Dr. Hyde Park, King and Moffat Dr. Hyde Park, 231 kilometres. So it's whatever, that's 30 kilometres of a difference there. They are similar distances. The comparison maybe actually is with, say, Castlebar to Dr. Hyde Park or Navan to Tullamore. Navan to Tullamore is 83 kilometres, and then Castlebar to Dr. Hyde Park is 99 kilometres. Again, not a whole pile of difference.
And they're both bordering each other in other parts of the county as well. Like, you know, it's not...
The two situations are very similar. Mayo and Meath were both in a very favourable position in terms of fans being able to travel to the game versus their opposition managers or their opposition teams and fans, and the managers reacted in different ways. But you are spot on, Carl. I hadn't quite considered that. Jack O'Connor coming out complaining about anything but his own team would have not gone down too well.
I think in Jim McGuinness's case, if you go back to his first tenure in charge, I think a lot of people had criticised Donegal in terms of their style of play at that time, which was quite revolutionary, and obviously key figures in the game at that time had been really critical of the style of play, and that kind of galvanised the Donegal supporters and team together, I think, in terms of it's us against everybody else. Is there an element of that at play here again that they're trying to generate
year,
that?
Last year he had the same, another thing going on, and like, it's always something. You know what I mean? And that's his style. Like, I don't think that Jim McGuinness is actually going around thinking everybody's against us, everybody wants to portray that, and that's his style, that's fine. I just don't think that we should be saying, you know, all's fair in love and war. Like, I think that if you're being unfair, you're being unfair.
Yeah, true. I guess my point is that I can understand why he's doing it, and like, they are seemingly all on the one page as a panel and as a fan base as well, rowing in behind Jim McGuinness and everything that he says. We did a media today, wasn't it, Cathal, with regards to the All-Ireland Championship. Shane Walsh was out speaking.
Yeah, he's been speaking, and he's hailed the influence of Pádraig Joyce in helping boost his confidence in recent weeks. The Trismen managed to book their place in the knockout stage last weekend after their dramatic a win over Armagh. They'll now face Down in the preliminary quarterfinals this weekend. Walsh says some one-to-one conversations with his manager were key in the build-up to last Saturday's match in Cavan.
Like, John, having one-to-one meetings at Pádraig, like, he's, John, people probably don't see that side of him too often, like, in the media. He'd be, he's quite black and white, I suppose, and on the front. But then when you, John, as they get underneath it, you get, I suppose, the sense of he was a player himself. He obviously had, probably didn't have too many confidence issues, but at the same time, he kind of passed on a couple of things to me. And, John, it stood to me, I suppose, going into the weekend and trained well for the 2 weeks. And, look, it kind of followed into last Saturday as well.
I'm interested in how teams approach these fixtures this weekend. So Galway, Dublin and Kerry, and even to an extent Donegal, they've all had injury troubles at various points of this year. Like Dublin, most famously with Conor Callaghan, and when he's in the team, they're brilliant. When he's not in the team, they're not so good. Galway, with their three main stars for the last couple of years, have had injury troubles. Donegal have had Sean Paton out, and now Kerry are obviously struggling through their injury crisis at the moment. I wonder to what extent a manager might be tempted to not roll the dice this weekend, to not play a player who's 50-50. I understand the reaction, and look, you were talking about it last night with Mike Quirk, and he said it absolutely in no circumstances whatsoever would Kerry, for example, decide not to play their full team against Cavan. Can I just make one counterpoint to that?
Yeah.
And I accept Mike Quirk has coached the team to win an All-Ireland. What's the difference between losing a preliminary quarterfinal and an All-Ireland quarterfinal? If you're Jack O'Connor this weekend and looking at the fixtures, you probably expect Donegal, Dublin, Galway to win, which means that your reward for beating Cavan is a match against Armagh and Croke Park, who've had an extra week's rest than you. Chances are, if you don't have your players available for that game, you are going to lose that game against Armagh.
Yeah.
And you give yourself more of a chance of those players being available against Armagh by them not playing against Cavan this week.
Okay.
If that's the case, do you then risk not playing them this week?
Well, I mean, I think that's it's a kind of a false question, because if they're not fit enough to suggest that if playing this week will mean that they can't play the following week, then they're not fit. And you're making, you know, I don't understand why they wouldn't be available the following week. You know, but whereas if the difference to the initial question, the difference between losing a preliminary quarterfinal and losing a quarterfinal is nothing other than if you lose the preliminary quarterfinal without playing all your best players because you've had an eye on the week after. I think that'd be criminal. You know what I mean? That means you've taken your eye off the ball and you've got knocked out of the championship because you're hoping that maybe you need other players down the line. Do you know what I mean? Or you're holding players back like that. You can't do that.
Yeah, and I don't think any of those teams
to make sure
that you
they
mentioned.
Win the game.
Yeah, I think I take your point, and but I think if you're a team that's in really good form, maybe you take a chance on that. But none of those teams have shown form, I think, to suggest that they can rest key guys for a knockout championship match.
Is the point exactly that they are not in good form? Therefore, they need to take a risk and look at this as a 2 week block.
No, but they're not just going to come back in. I would say you need Kerry as a unit, as many as people are fit as possible, to go and play together and
for a week.
Get 70 minutes under their legs or something, or 50 minutes, and go and hammer Cavan. No offense to Cavan again, but like if Kerry show up at home, especially in Clarny, they are capable of doing that. And then actually go in with a little bit of momentum next week. If you don't play anybody next week and they struggle over the line against Cavan, and then everybody turns up to play Armagh, what's it going to be in Croke Park, I'd say, right? It's going to be in Croke Park against Armagh. And it's like, this is like a completely fresh, you think they're going to be fresh. They're actually going to be cold.
That's a good point. That's good. That's just a lose-lose, what you painted there, and just that doesn't, exactly that. What I should say as well is that there is absolutely a world where, on the evidence of last week, Kerry could have everybody available this weekend and lose to Cavan, given how poor the performance was in Tullamore. So this is not a point of, oh, they will beat Cavan anyway. It's totally to do with the point of, you know, they don't stand a prayer against Armagh without these players. And if you rule them out or give them a better chance of being ruled out by playing them this weekend, does that come into the management's thinking? Because may as well lose to Cavan as much as losing to Armagh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know Mike Quirk rejected that notion on yesterday's show. So
he absolutely rejected it.
Yeah, categorically. Right, where do you want to go next?
Just an update on one of the rule changes as well in football. News of this emerging today from John Fogarty in the Irish Examiner earlier this afternoon, that the rule around a player being impeded having won the ball from a kick-out mark will be changed. Instead of the ball being brought forward by 50 metres, it'll instead now be a free kick from where the offence took place, and it is understood that rule change will be in place for this weekend's matches in the Football Championship.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to get in touch on WhatsApp. Someone's been in touch to say fair play to Will getting those tickets at 6:05, considering he is hosting The Last Word all evening as well. double tabs, I think, or double laptops potentially all day long for Will. I thought you were talking about Adele tickets, says Brian. They were obviously on sale today. And Jim is right. Neutral is neutral, says another texter. Way closer to Mayo. If he doesn't call for fairness in his county, then who will?
Yeah, that's fair, right? And actually calling for fairness and giving out about the selection is actually fine. I still think it was the this happened because we're Donegal attitude. That's the problem. You know, if a referee makes a decision and you come out and criticise the referee afterwards, you're probably within your rights, you know, to say we got knocked out or we did this, this happened because of this referee. You come out and say the referee made that decision because we're Donegal. That's problematic. And I think that's all I'm trying to say here. I'm not actually saying Jim McGuinness should just be quiet and accept wherever they put him.
Okay, we have a Lions squad update.
Yeah, the England scrum half Jack Van Portfleet has joined up with the Lions squad in Dublin ahead of Friday's game against Argentina at the Aviva Stadium. The Leicester player will join as cover, with Leinster's Jameson Gibson-Park managing a minor injury which ruled him out of last weekend's URC final. Meanwhile, Munster have revealed the details of their senior men's team pre-season matches. The first two are away from home, with Biarritz hosting the Irish province on August the 22nd. Munster will then travel to Kingsholm to take on Gloucester on Friday, September the 5th, and then 7 days later, they'll welcome the Premiership champions Bath to Virgin Media Park in Cork.
We have David Coote news.
Yeah, the former Premier League referee David Coote has been charged by the Football Association for comments made about the former Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp, which emerged on social media last year. The video was originally recorded in 2020, and Coote was suspended in November of 2024 and sacked a month later. However, Coote has been cleared by the FA of any gambling misconduct following claims he had discussed issuing a yellow card to a player prior to a match.
And then we also have some hockey scores.
Yeah, Ireland have suffered a 6-1 defeat to Australia in their Pro League encounter in Antwerp today. John McKee brought the sides level towards the end of the first quarter, but the Australians found the net on five occasions after that. They're set to meet again tomorrow. And then in terms of the racing today at Royal Ascot, Gistad took victory for trainer Aidan O'Brien in the Coventry Stakes on day one. The 7-2 favourite held out for victory from Do or Do Not in second. And in the St James's Palace Stakes, Colin Keane guided the pre-race favourite Field of Gold to a decisive win there.
Off the Ball, GAA.
Ewan is actually, he's saying, guys, come out and tell us the facts. Tell us what's happened. We've so much to be going on with in Mayo GAA.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.